and good Tuesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online, lawgroupnc.com, or give them a call, 910-251-6088. We'll hear more from them coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. So government fraud, waste, abuse, whatever phrase or terminology you'd like to use to describe it, it's a very real issue. And it's something that many folks on the right, whether you define yourself as a Republican, a conservative, maybe even a right-leaning unaffiliated voter or person in your ideology and the way that you go about politics, is something that is a very real thing. You'll remember back earlier this year when the Department of Government Efficiency was stood up under the Trump administration led by Elon Musk. There was a lot of hand-wringing from those on the left about how it just doesn't exist. There's no such thing. There's not widespread fraud. There's not widespread waste. There's not widespread abuse within the either federal government system or state government systems all across the country. And I don't say this to be a jerk. I don't say this to be cruel. But if you genuinely believe that there is not widespread fraud going on in government, you're an idiot. And I don't like to be that guy. I don't like to boil down a conversation to you just don't know what you're talking about. But anybody that tells you that there are not entities, individuals, organizations, nonprofits, hell, even companies that are taking advantage of either federal or state governments, which is, by the way, folks, something important to note. When we talk about government fraud, when we talk about government waste, when we talk about government abuse, we're not talking about government money because that doesn't exist. Government does not have the ability to generate revenue. They don't have the ability. They don't make a product that people consume to generate revenue. They take my money, they take your money, they take your neighbor's money, your employer's money, your family's money. They take our money and use it for a variety of their pet projects and wonderful things that we get from government. Government doesn't have money. So this weird notion, this weird concept, this idea that A, government fraud doesn't exist, which you must just be living in some sort of fairy tale, and B, it's not a big deal, even though it's literally your money that is being used, abused by either entities, people, organizations, however you'd like to describe it, should be a pretty bipartisan issue. And that's what's weird about it, is it's not. I mean, if you bring up concerns about government waste and government fraud, you're told, ugh, that doesn't exist. That's a right-wing conspiracy theory. That's some crazy tinfoil hat conspiracy theory talk going on there. There's not people taking advantage of the system, or if there are, it's very limited, right? There's not people that are milking the food stamp system, now called the EBT, because food stamp, I guess, was an offensive term. So it's now the electronic benefit package, the EBT card. There's nobody taking advantage of that. And if there are, just very small cases. It's not widespread. It's not actually having an impact. And I will contend to you this morning that any amount of fraud as it relates to the federal government is, or a state government, or hell, even a local government, is a major, major problem. And it's not often that you can draw parallels between private entity and government, right? Because they just don't kind of exist in the same sphere. Private business has to generate something or produce something to generate revenue, to generate money, to generate profit. Government doesn't have to do that. They just raise your taxes every 2 years or every year. Then they have a boatload of cash that they can piss away on a whole bunch of garbage and nonsense. So it's very different. But if you look at almost any business that is customer facing or has, you know, sells a physical thing or sells a service, in many cases, especially as you get to medium and large size businesses, many of them, if not in house, they contract with fraud prevention companies. I mean, it is a multi-hundred-million-dollar business of third-party entities that detect fraud, whether it's fraud from your customers, fraud from your employees that are taking advantage of the system. It's a huge business because it's a very real concern. And it's unfortunately a situation that exists in a lot of places, from small businesses to people, you know, it doesn't really happen much anymore with so many people paying with plastic, debit or credit cards and surveillance and things. But go back 30 or 40, 50 years, you know, taking a couple bucks from the till. You're working at a convenience store. You swipe a couple bucks every few days. That's fraud. Does it cripple the business? Does it bring the business to its knees? Probably not, but it's an issue. Business understands, private business understands that it's an issue. Government, for whatever freaking reason, seems to think that they're oblivious to this, or not oblivious, that they don't have this issue at all, that they are immune from fraud because they're government. Nobody would defraud or run a scheme or a scam on the government. So when I read this article over at the New York Times this weekend, it was incredibly eye-opening. The New York Times, of all places, here's the headline: how fraud swamped Minnesota's social service system on Tim Walz's watch. Of course, Tim Walz, the former vice presidential candidate with the lovely and the great and the amazing Kamala Harris on the Democrat ticket in 2024. The subheading: prosecutors say members of the Somalia Diasporta, a group with growing political power, were largely responsible. President Trump has drawn national attention on the scandal amid his crackdown on immigration. Ooh, it's a juicy one. So let's read it. Let's get into it. The fraud scheme that rattled Minnesota was staggering in its scale and brazenness. That is the first sentence in this article over at the New York Times. Staggering, large in its scale and brazenness. So we're already off to the races. Federal prosecutors charged dozens of people with felonies, accusing them of stealing hundreds of millions of dollars from a government program meant to keep children fed during the COVID-19 pandemic. Well, that doesn't fit the narrative at all, does it? Again, we've been told now for months that we're out in, you know, cuckoo land on the right when we bring up that government fraud is absolutely happening and it's a very real concern. We're living in some fantasy land. It's not true. It's not possible. It's not happening. Yet we are at this point in time, two sentences into a piece over at the New York Times, and we're told that it was large in scale, it was brazen in the way in which it was done, and the individuals that were responsible pocketed hundreds of millions of dollars in just one state. This isn't the federal government, folks. This is a state, one state. At first, many in the state, and here's the issue. At first, many in the state saw this case as a one-off abuse during a health emergency. But as new schemes targeting the state's generous safety net programs came to light, state and federal officials began to grapple with a jarring reality. And this little blurb right here really highlights the issue. Because when you bring up these concerns to an entity, a state, a local government, or the federal government, this is always the response that you're going to get. It's just one-off abuse. Yeah, there's sometimes some bad apples that take advantage of the system, but overall, there's no major problem. That's the immediate knee-jerk gut reaction from governments at all scales every single time. One off. I mean, look at like voter ID, for example. Election issues. You're told, same thing. Oh, you're not allowed to have these discussions. It doesn't matter if a couple dozen people are voting illegally. It doesn't matter if somebody is voting for their dead relative. Just, you know, it's just a one-off issue. Even though local elections, small elections, can be literally decided by a handful of votes. But it's always the excuse from the left. One-off, not widespread, not large in scale, just small issues. And we just let those go under the rug. So if somebody is breaking into your house once every 15 or 20 days, hell, let's just say once a month, 12 times a year, would you describe that as, you know, it's kind of a one-off issue? It's just this one guy who's defrauding me. Just this one guy who's stealing from me once a month. But it's okay, because it's not happening every night. It's just once a month this person comes into my house, steals my stuff, and leaves. Just once a month. It's not large in scale. It's not a revolving door. It's not every single night. It's just once a month. Of course not. Over the last 5 years, law enforcement officials say fraud took root in the pockets of Minnesota's Somalia diaspora as scores of individuals made small fortunes by setting up companies that billed state agencies for millions of dollars worth of social services that were never provided. Federal prosecutors say that 59 people have been convicted in those schemes so far, and that more than $1 billion in taxpayer money had been stolen in three plots that they are investigating. That is more than Minnesota spends annually to run its Department of Corrections. Minnesota's fraud scandal stood out even in the context of rampant theft during the pandemic, when Americans stole tens of billions through unemployment benefits, business loans, and other forms of aid, according to federal prosecutors. So even the New York Times is admitting now that during COVID, there was, they say right here, quote, rampant theft during the pandemic, end quote. But again, folks, we've been told now for the last 5 years that that's just not true, that we're crazy. We're losing our minds. We're living in some sort of alternate universe here where fraud exists and fraud is taking place. Yet, now you've got the New York Times, the great paper of record in our nation, admitting the thing that they said was not, could not, and will not happen, which is rampant fraud through government programs. Outrage has swelled among Minnesotans, and fraud has turned into a potent political issue in a competitive campaign season. Governor Tim Walz and fellow Democrats are being asked to explain how so much money was stolen on their watch, providing Republicans who hope to take back the governor's office in 2026 with a powerful line of attack. In recent days, President Trump has weighed in, calling Minnesota, quote, a hub of fraudulent money laundering activity, and saying that the Somali perpetrators should be sent back to where they came from. As many Somali Americans in Minnesota say, the fraud has damaged the reputation of their entire community, which is around 80,000 people, at a moment when their political and economic standing was on the rise. Well, I'm sure their economic standing was on the rise because they were all getting rich off of the taxpayers in the state of Minnesota. I mean, it's no wonder that their economic standing was looking up. It was green pastures ahead when you've ripped off the state for $1 billion freaking dollars. I'm sure things are looking real flowery out in Minnesota with running your scam. Debate over the fraud has opened new rifts between the state's Somali community and other Minnesotans, and has left some Somali Americans saying that they are unfairly facing a new layer of suspicion against all of them rather than the small group accused of the fraud. And by the way, 60 people. I'm not going to step back and say that's a small group. If you've got 60 people that are running a scam, is it a large group? No, but at the same time, that's not A small group is a couple of people. I mean, if I told you that I was going out with a small group of friends on Friday night, you'd think, maybe four, five, six, maybe seven. I'm going to have a small group of friends over to my house on Friday night. And then 60 people are there. That's not a small group by any stretch of the imagination. So I don't know that I'd buy into that at all. Critics of the Waltz administration say that the fraud persisted partially because state officials were fearful of alienating the Somali community in Minnesota. There it is. Governor Waltz, who has instituted new fraud prevention safeguards, defended his administration's actions. So there's pretty much the whole story right in front of you. They knew that this was going on. Democrats, in the case of Tim Waltz, literally was running to be the second most powerful person in the United States of America as the vice president of the United States, was allowing the state in which he is responsible for as governor to be ripped off at the tune of hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, and was afraid to say anything. Why? Why was he afraid to say anything? Because he was afraid to piss off a solid block of Democrat voters, which is the Somali population in the state of Minnesota. Ladies and gentlemen, I will go back to a previous thesis statement and previous comments that we've talked of, conversations we've had here on the show. I've mentioned to you from time to time now that the Democrat Party is in the midst of a civil war. They are. It's obvious with the federal government shutdown. You've seen how things have played out over the last couple of weeks. I feel pretty vindicated in my statements. And when I make the comment that Democrats are afraid to do things because they can't alienate any more of their base, this is what I'm talking about. The reason that somebody like Chuck Schumer is in such a miserable spot right now is because if he doesn't cave to the radical political left, he risks losing their votes. He risks those voters staying home and not coming out and supporting Democrats. And based on this commentary, based on the statement in this article over at the New York Times, it is backing up the exact same thing, however, on a much smaller scale. The Democrat governor of Minnesota, in Tim Waltz, former vice president, was afraid to highlight fraud because he didn't want to piss off a group of voters who have consistently voted for Democrats. Why? Because they're taking advantage of all of the Democrat taxpayer-funded welfare systems that exist in a state like Minnesota. And again, I'll read it one more time. Critics of the Waltz administration say that the fraud persisted partially, not completely, but partially because the state officials were fearful of alienating the Somali community in Minnesota. So we no longer care about fraud. We no longer care about abuses to systems, whether it's a state system or a local system, because we might piss off voters. If that doesn't make you If that sentence doesn't make you irate, now I don't live in Minnesota. I don't pay taxes in Minnesota. Can you imagine what the people of Minnesota are thinking about this? The hardworking middle-class Americans that exist in that state that are busting their ass 45, 55, 60 hours a week to provide for their family, working through the holidays, put food on the table, to set aside a couple of bucks so they can purchase their kids nice gifts and nice presents for Christmas, busting their ass, and you see this story pop up on your news feed and you find out that people in your state have been taking your hard-earned wages for a ride, and nobody wanted to do anything because they didn't want to piss off the Somali immigrant community in Minnesota. I mean, are you freaking kidding me? This is where we're at? This is our current status of politics? We are going to allow mass rampant abuses of social net safety net systems because we don't want to piss off some immigrants from Somalia? I mean, give me a freaking break. What are we doing? What's going on? Where are we at right now? that this is the discourse. This is the conversation. Back to the article. The episode has raised broader questions from some residents about the stability of Minnesota's Scandinavian-modeled system of robust safety net programs bankrolled by high taxes. That system helped to create an environment that drew immigrants to the state over many decades, including tens of thousands of Somalian refugees after the country descended into civil war in the 1990s. So, the safety net system was created on the backs of the taxpayers. We know that's the only way that this works. A bunch of immigrants fled into the state because they were getting a bunch of, frankly, free shit from the government. So they all flooded into the state of Minnesota. Then they decided, hey, I've got a great idea. Let's run a scam on the state that provided us this safety net. Man, we always love to talk about the strengths of our immigrant communities. Now, this looks like it right here, folks. The state helped you on your way. The state, aka the residents, the taxpayers in the state, provided your safety net system when you migrated to the United States. When you came to the state of Minnesota, in the case in the 1990s and early 2000s, and you've decided now the way to pay back the system, the way to become a productive, useful member of society is to run a billion-dollar scam on the state of Minnesota. Tell me more about the strength of our immigrant community. Seriously. Joseph H. Thompson, the federal prosecutor who has overseen the fraud case, said in an interview with the New York Times, quote, "No one will support these programs if they continue to be riddled with fraud. We're losing our way of life in Minnesota in a very real way." The first public sign of a major problem in the state's social service system came in 2022. When federal prosecutors began charging defendants in connection to a program aimed at feeding hungry children. Merrick Garland, attorney general during the Biden administration, called it the country's largest pandemic relief fraud scheme. You'll remember this back in 2022. I remember talking about it on the radio at the time. The prosecutors focused on a Minneapolis nonprofit organization called Feeding Our Future, which became a partner to dozens of local businesses that enrolled as feeding sites. State agencies reimbursed the group and its partners for invoices, claiming to have fed tens of thousands of children. In reality, federal prosecutors said most of the meals were non-existent, and business owners spent the funds on luxury cars, houses, and even real estate projects abroad. Now, I'm going to pause here for a second, because this brings up the larger issue of why these programs just never work. Because unlike a private business, for example, if you owned a private business and you were going to give out hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars to a group, not a handout, but if you were going to spend hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars on something, which is what the state of Minnesota did with this program, any business, even a small business, is going to make sure that the money that they are spending is being used in an efficient manner. I mean, that's literally business. It's business 101. But when you get the state involved, because again, the state doesn't generate revenue. The state doesn't have a product that it sells. There's no incentive for the state because, again, they're not doing anything to make the money. They're just collecting it every year from their citizens or every month, depending on, or every 2 weeks, depending on when you get paid. There's no incentive to watch the dollars and the cents because it's, at the end of the day, really not their money. So there's no vested interest. If you're a business owner, you've got a vested interest in every freaking dollar that comes through the door because it's your money. You or your employees worked hard for it. You've invested time and money to make that dollar a reality. So you've got a vested interest in making sure that that dollar is secure. State, the government, federal governments, local governments, they just don't care. They never have. And it's one of the biggest issues with government. And it's why people like myself are so negative, and I'll be the first to admit it, are so incredibly negative when it comes to government. Because all we constantly see is more money, palms out, begging for more cash from the taxpayer, when the end result is a whole bunch of money is just being wasted and pissed away with no foreseeable return on investment from a taxpayer perspective. And so the state agencies were giving this group, Feeding Our Future, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars to feed children. And at no point, nobody in the state dropped in and said, hey, where are all these tens of thousands of kids that you're feeding? At no point, somebody didn't drop in and say, huh, there's no children being fed here. There are no families being fed here, and you're invoicing the state millions of dollars to feed hungry children during COVID-19. It never popped into anybody's mind. Let's check this out. It never popped into anybody's mind. Let's make sure that we're not being taken for a ride here. Nothing? No, of course not. Because that's not the way that government operates, folks. It never has. And unfortunately, I don't think it ever will. Continuing. Behind the scenes, as federal investigators sifted through bank records and interviewed witnesses, they say they realized that the meal fraud was not an isolated incident. In September, prosecutors charged 9 people in 2 plots tied to a public fraud meant for those in need. In one case, hundreds of providers were reimbursed for assistance they claimed to have provided to people at risk for homelessness through federal authorities said services weren't provided. The program's annual cost ballooned to more than $104 million last year, according to authorities, from a budgeted projection of just $2.6 million when it began in 2020. 2 of the 8 people charged in the scenario have pleaded guilty, 6 others have pleaded not guilty and are awaiting trial. I mean, isn't this just the most damning example of government that you've ever seen? The program was budgeted at just $2.6 million. And that began in 2020. So let's do the math together. Started in 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024, and 2025. I have 5 fingers up on my right hand. So in the span of 5 years, the budget went from $2.6 million to $104 million. That wasn't enough. That absolute explosion of a budget wasn't enough for somebody to go, maybe there's some chicanery going on here. Maybe there's some fraud going on here. Our $2.6 million budget has ballooned to over $100 million. Not in the span of 100 years, in the span of 5 years. And it began in 2020. I mean, it's just insane. But folks, this is Democrat government. This is Democrat control. In another program aimed to provide therapy for autistic children, sounds like a worthy cause. I'm sure it was taken advantage of. Prosecutors say that providers recruited children in Minneapolis's Somali community, falsely certifying them as qualifying for autism treatment and paying their parents kickbacks for their cooperation. Great. Strength of our immigrant community once again. So you've got the providers that know that they can run the scam, and you've got the great immigrant community in the state of Minnesota saying, sure, we don't care if we'll defraud the government, this state that's been so great to us, the state that has provided hundreds of millions of dollars in assistance to our families. And yeah, we'll take advantage of that. Who gives a crap? It doesn't matter. Sure. No problem at all. Thanks, America. Thanks, the state of Minnesota, for providing us this safety net. Now we're going to run a fraud scheme on you. We're going to take advantage of the system that we use to get ahead. Bravo. Strength of our immigrant community once again. Prosecutors have so far charged one provider by the name of Asha Farhan Hassan, a 29-year-old with wire fraud that say she and business partners stole just $14 million. Just $14 million. Ms. Hassan's lawyer said his client had entered the social service field with good intentions, but eventually began to submit fraudulent invoices. He said that she also intends to plead guilty. Ms. Hassan is of Somali ancestry, as are all but 8 of the 86 people charged in the meals, housing, and autism therapy fraud cases, according to state federal prosecutors. A vast majority are American citizens by birth or naturalization. Of course, they note in this article. I mean, what the hell are we doing? What is going on here? How is something like this allowed to perpetrate? How is something like this allowed to exist? There is nobody, not one single freaking person in the state of Minnesota, in government at any level, that said, maybe we should take a look at this. There's not a single person that thought, maybe there's something fishy going on here. This isn't passing the smell test. Not one freaking person. I mean, just unreal. Great comment coming in on our Rumble live chat this morning. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Saying that that is one of my top 5 favorite sayings. Yeah, it's pretty accurate here. And of course, you love the comment there from the attorney. My client, who stole $14 million from the state, had good intentions. So, I mean, as long as they had good intentions, they didn't start off trying to screw over the taxpayers in Minnesota. They didn't start off with the intentions of defrauding the public, but it's just what ended up happening. I mean, you know, it just happens, folks. I mean, everybody, right? You start off with good intentions at your job, and the next thing you know, you're ripping off them for tens of millions of dollars, right? I mean, it just happens. Everybody does it, right? Every single person. You steal from the company you work for. You defraud government. You defraud your family, your friends, right? I mean, everybody does this because everybody starts with good intentions, right? What a freaking joke. I've got more on this story from the New York Times coming up, plus a post on X from a group of employees within the Minnesota Department of Human Services that has received at this point a whopping 38.8 million views describing this situation as well. We'll get into those details coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Before that, I want to tell you about Melissa Gott and her amazing team over at The Law Group and thank them for their continued support of The Nick Craig Show and let you know that when legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in The Law Group right here in Wilmington. For now, more than 22 years, they just passed that anniversary this summer, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across Eastern North Carolina. Whether you're facing a litany of legal issues, whether you're looking at unfortunately facing a divorce, navigating a real estate transaction, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, they're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group. Experience and dedication you can rely on. I had the pleasure of working with Melissa and her team. Man, it is now, it's crazy to say, now more than 5 years ago when I purchased my house in 2020. Phenomenal experience with Melissa and her team over at the Law Group. For any legal challenges, reach out to them, 910-251-6088, or give them a call or visit their website, lawgroupnc.com. All right, we'll grab a quick break and talk more about how seemingly nobody in the state of Minnesota, Democrat Governor Tim Walz, any of his other lackeys, Blohm, None of them cared that the state was being defrauded at the tune of literally billions of dollars. We'll continue that conversation coming up after this as the Nick Craig Show rolls on a Tuesday morning, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. And welcome back to the Nick Craig Show. Good Tuesday morning to you as we continue our coverage, our discussion of widespread fraud in the state of Minnesota, which hopefully will tank the Democrats as we head into 2026 and wake up the individuals that will wake up the citizens of the state of Minnesota that, of course, will be hopefully heading out next year and make their voices heard and tell Democrats in the state of Minnesota that this is over with, that we're not playing this game anymore. You continue to raise our taxes. You continue to make our state unaffordable. And all of this is being perpetrated and all of this is happening while widespread fraud is going on in the state. So here's let's continue through this New York Times article, which is pretty surprising, going through some of the details here. Let's continue with that. Red flags in the meal program began to surface in the early months of the pandemic. So we're talking about mid 2020 at this point. But the money kept flowing, writes the New York Times. In 2020, the Minnesota Department of Education officials who administered the program became overwhelmed by the number of applicants seeking to register new feeding sites and began raising questions about the plausibility of some of the invoices. Okay, so somebody was looking at this. Great. Feeding Our Future, the nonprofit group that was the largest provider in the pandemic program, responded with a warning. In an email, the group told the state agency that failing to promptly approve new applications from, quote, minority-owned businesses would result in a lawsuit featuring accusations of racism that would be, quote, sprawled across the news. And if we've learned anything over the last couple of decades, when any of these left-wing groups throw around the term, oh, we're going to call you a racist, government capitulates. Feeding Our Future later sued the agency, which continued reimbursement claims and approving new sites in the months that follow. A report by Minnesota's nonpartisan Office of the Legislative Auditor about the lapses that enabled the meal fraud later found that the threat of litigation and of negative press affected how state officials used their regulatory power. Huh. No surprise there at all. Keisha Megan, a Somali American who formerly worked as a fraud investigator for the Minnesota Attorney General's office, said elected officials in the state, and particularly those who were part of the state's Democratic-led administration, were reluctant to make more assertive claims in response to the allegations in the Somalian community. Here's our second example. We cannot afford to piss off our solid Democratic voting base in the Somali community in Minnesota, so we are going to allow fraud to perpetrate. So she spoke to the New York Times. He spoke to the New York Times and said, quote, there is a perception that forcefully tackling this issue might cause political backlash among the Somali community, which is a core voting bloc for Democrats. I mean, just unbelievable. As a trial in the meals fraud case was coming to a close last summer, an attempt to bribe a juror included an explicit insinuation about racism, prosecutors said. Several defendants in the trial were found to have arranged to send a bag containing $120,000 to a juror, along with a note that read, why is it always about people of color and immigrants prosecuted for the fault of other people? Mr. Thompson, a career prosecutor who served as an interim U.S. attorney for several months this year and who declined to discuss his own political preferences, said he believed that race sensitivity had played a major role in the rise of fraud. As pandemic assertions were distributed, the state was also reeling from the killing of George Floyd by a Minneapolis police officer in May of 2020. That, of course, kicked off the summer of peace and love across the nation, in which Black Lives Matter and other left-wing race groups decided that it was appropriate to burn down U.S. cities all in the name of racial justice. You'll remember that. Thompson said during an interview this summer, this was a huge part of the problem. Allegations of racism can be reputation or career killers. And it's why the left uses them constantly. It's why when there's nothing else to say, what does the left always go back to? Oh, you're a racist. Because it's a surefire way to get a very visceral reaction from people. So when there's nothing else to go on, when there's no other argument to be made, we pull out, and I say we, the Democrats, we pull out the race card every single time. When in doubt, play the race card, because it's always a surefire winner. Tim Walz, Minnesota's second-term governor who gained national attention last year as Kamala Harris's running mate in a White House bid, said this week that claims of racism did not hinder his administration's response to fraud, which you and I know is complete and total BS. Walz has said that his administration may have erred on the side of generosity during the pandemic as the state pushed out large sums of money quickly, seeking to keep Minnesotans housed, fed, and healthy. It's generosity, folks. It's just generosity. You can take the taxpayers of Minnesota for a ride at the tune of $1 billion, and it's just generosity. It's just generosity. Don't you just love Democrats and the way that they handle things? So you've got $1 billion worth of fraud taking place in the state of Minnesota, and you've got the incompetent governor of the state, Tim Walz, former vice presidential candidate under Kamala Harris, saying that they were erring on the side of generosity. So my question to you is very simple. What is generous about the taxpayers in the state of Minnesota and taxpayers at the federal government level being defrauded at the tune of $1 billion? Can you name me what is generous about that? Can you put your finger on what makes that a generous action? The money's not free. Somebody's paying for it. It's not Tim Walz. It's not the Democrat Party in the state of Minnesota. It's you and me. We're the ones paying for it, right? Money's not free. Government can't, yes, they can print money, but it's not free. They're borrowing. They're putting more strain on our economy. But they were just erring on the side of generosity. Oh, thank God for the state of Minnesota and their generous nature in dealing with this issue. Walz said in a recent interview, the programs are set up to move money to the people. The programs are set up to improve people's lives. And in many cases, the criminals find the loopholes. It doesn't sound like a loophole to me at all. It sounds like you were aware of the issue and didn't do anything about it. Tim Walz, who is seeking a third term next year, has created a new task force to pursue fraud cases, making it easier for state agencies to share information with one another and announce plans for a new technology, including artificial intelligence tools, to spot suspicious billing practices. Spotting the practices doesn't seem to be the issue. The Minnesota Department of Education highlighted this problem, brought it to state officials, including Democrat Governor Tim Walz, and they didn't touch it. Why? Because they didn't want to piss off the Somali community within their state who consistently vote for Democrats, because there are most of them, the vast majority of them, are taking advantage of the welfare state that has been created in Minnesota. So, great. You're going to spend tens of millions of dollars implementing artificial intelligence technology to spot fraud, but that's not the issue. When you detect the fraud, you have to do something about it. With Walz recently saying, the message here in Minnesota is if you commit a crime, if you commit fraud against public dollars, you are going to prison. Okay. I'm sure the Somali community is shaking in their boots in Minnesota this morning. What a strong message from the soy boy governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz. Unfreaking believable. So here's the fallout. Years after the fraud case first came to light, the issue has come under a harsh national spotlight amid the Trump administration's immigration crackdown. President Trump last week denounced the Minnesota fraud case on social media and simultaneously announced an end to a temporary legal status that allows several hundred Somali immigrants to live and work in the United States. His comments followed a report this month by the Manhattan Institute publication City Journal, in which Ryan Thorpe, a reporter, and Christopher Rufo, a conservative activist, said that the money from the Minnesota fraud was funding Al-Shabaab, a terrorist organization in Somalia. That claim emerged in 2018, but there has been no solid evidence to substantiate it, according to the New York Times. And none of the federal fraud cases have featured a link to terrorism. Over the last few days, in response to a shooting of a National Guard members in Washington, D.C., President Trump has again spoken of Somalis in Minnesota, saying that they were, quote, ripping off our country. Well, I mean, they are. I mean... What else is the response? I mean, they are. You've got 59 people that have been charged in this fraud case. Those are the only ones that have been charged. And as you know, that's likely just the tip of the iceberg. Because the fraud tree runs real deep. It's got real deep roots. So the president talks about people in Minnesota, predominantly the Somalian community, ripping off the government. He's right. That's what this report, that's what this article from the New York Times is freaking highlighting. In Minnesota, Mr. Trump's remarks deeply unsettled the Somali community. Oh, darn. That's unfortunate. Such is life. Dozens came to a Somali mall in Minnesota over the weekend for a potluck and interfaith gathering where faith leaders decried President Trump's statements. And in a news conference on Monday, Democratic elected officials pointed to contributions Somali leaders have made to Minnesota's political, economic, and cultural spheres, as several Somali Americans serve in the state legislature and other offices, while others have been honored for their entrepreneurship. Have they been honored for stealing $1 billion? Did we give them an award for that? Maybe we should give out some gold medals for the individuals conducting this fraud operation. Representative Ilhan Omar, the great Somali representative, said, quote, "We do not blame the lawlessness of an individual on a whole community." Well, it's not an individual. It's at this point, at least 60 individuals, and the majority of those individuals are from said community. So what's the issue here? I haven't heard President Donald Trump say every single Somalian who is in the United States of America needs to be thrown out. I haven't heard that statement at all. What I have heard, and what I continue to hear, and what I'm actually in favor of, is cutting down on this level of fraud and waste, regardless of whether you are from Somalia, whether you were born in the United States. Doesn't matter what your skin color is. It doesn't matter what your religion is. It doesn't matter what your gender is. If you are committing fraud, regardless of whether you came from some war-torn country, you should be held accountable. An interesting comment coming in on our Rumble live chat: Somalians get a break coming to the United States, and what do? Steal, don't assimilate. Want us to change, bash us. Ilhan Omar is their poster child. Exactly. And this is a growing issue. This is a growing problem that is being discussed on the right. You had mass importation of individuals from Somalia assimilating in the state of Minnesota because of its great corporate welfare system that exists. And the end result is people took advantage of the system. So that brings us to an interesting post from a group, which its X account is the Minnesota Department of Human Services. And this account, which has existed on X, I went back and looked because, you know, obviously people can just make things up. This account has existed since 2023. And the bio of the account is, "We are over 480 Minnesota state stewards serving with pride and commitment over people and state. We strive for a better Minnesota." So this is a staff account of individuals that are frustrated with what's going on in the state of Minnesota. These people are government employees. And they put out this post over the weekend, which has blown up on social media. And it reads as follows. Tim Walz is 100% responsible for mass fraud in Minnesota. We let Tim Walz know of the fraud early on, hoping for a partnership in stopping fraud. But no, we got the opposite response. Tim Walz systematically retaliated against whistleblowers using monitoring, threats, and did this in his best way to discredit fraud reports. Instead of a partnership, we got the full weight of retaliation by Tim Walz. Certainly, DFL members and any indifferent mainstream media, it's scary, isolating, and left us wondering who we can turn to. In addition to retaliating against whistleblowers, Tim Walz disempowered the Office of the Legislative Auditor, allowing agencies to disregard their audit findings and guidance. Media and politicians supporting Tim Walz or the DFL agenda attacked whistleblowers who were trying to raise red flags on fraudulent activity. This is a cascade of systematic failures leading up to Tim Walz. Agency leaders appointed by Tim Walz willfully disregarded rules and laws to keep fraud reports quiet, even to the extent of threatening families of whistleblowers. These same leaders are not qualified for their jobs. Instead of getting leadership jobs via Tim Walz's friendship, so state governments were left floundering. DFL lawmakers refused to acknowledge fraud and deflected any serious conversations to stop fraud. Biased mainstream media such as WCCO and NPR, that's Minnesota Public Radio, showed absolutely no interest in covering fraud, fraud happening in our own state. Programs, especially in behavioral health and disability services, were built without any guardrails against fraud, all in an attempt to extract more funding from the legislature and federal government. As staff, we firsthand witnessed and observed fraud happening, yet we were shut down, reassigned and told to keep quiet, sometimes more. Leadership did not want to appear to discriminate against certain communities, as we know now, the Somali community, and were unwilling to take action such as stopping fraud that would have had an inverse impact on their image. To date, no single agency leader has been held responsible for their role in fraud, whether it's, and then they list off a bunch of officials in Minnesota who I don't know. It is a structure created and maintained by Tim Walz, who has created an environment of interrelated agencies and institutions, including the media, that help foster fraud through retaliation and turning a blind eye in exchange for political gains in the forms of high power agency leadership jobs or other perks. Fundamentally, Tim Walz is dishonest, lacks ethics and integrity, has poor leadership abilities, and has never taken an accountability for his role in fraud. Instead, Tim Walz deflects by blaming national politics for his own failings and distracts the public when intervening, when lying. These lies include his reference of a budget surplus under his tenure. Fact is, Minnesota has never had a surplus. We had been given federal ARPA funds that were conflated as surplus money otherwise. We'd be in a deficit. And those ARPA funds, which were meant to be temporary funds, were used to create more leadership positions for Tim Walz's, quote, buddies. As such, we cannot fight fraud in Minnesota alone, hence why we're appealing to the federal levels of government. We all need the help we can get, as Tim Walz's agency leaders have upped their brazen approach in covering up their knowledge of fraud. We are grateful to numerous solid politicians, especially the Fraud Committee and media outlets who are trying to halt fraud. We are also grateful to other whistleblowers who have bravely stepped up. Thank you, New York Times, for bringing this plight of Minnesota to the national stage. And then they highlight this recent article written over at the New York Times. Boy, ain't that a damning response there from the Minnesota, from staff members within the Minnesota, the account is Minnesota DHS, staff members working within the federal, the state government in the state of Minnesota. I mean, just absolute insanity. And so you've got this issue going on. You've got this problem that exists in the state. And you've got a cover-up at the absolute, and I mean absolute, highest levels of government, all the way from the governor down. And he's got nothing to say about it. He's got nothing to do. Here was Caroline Leavitt at a White House press briefing yesterday talking about the this report out from the New York Times. This is what the White House is saying as of yesterday.
And jeopardize the safety of law-abiding American citizens. In fact, according to a new bombshell report from the New York Times, Somalian migrants in Minnesota have defrauded nearly $1 billion in taxpayer-funded benefits under Democrat Governor Waltz's leadership. President Trump is putting an end to this dangerous America Last approach. His position is rooted in common sense. In the wake of last week's atrocity.
So there you go. There you go. That's what the White House is saying about the situation. What? I mean, I can't even sit here and say that I'm surprised. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm shocked by this report. Because I'm really not. But it is pretty jarring to see that something like this could happen at this high of a level. We all are skeptical, and rightfully so, of government. Whether we're talking about local government, whether we're talking about state government, that is a concern that many folks on the right, many conservatives, many Republicans have. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is part of the reason why. This is the frustration that conservatives and those on the political right have with what's going on at the government level, whether we're talking about the state, whether we're talking about the federal level. This stuff is real. It's happening. And every single time that you bring this up, you are a conspiracy theorist. You are a right-wing nut job. It's not real. It's not happening. It doesn't exist. You're told this time and time and time again. At what point do we turn the corner and say, this is real, and it's happening everywhere? From the state of North Carolina to Minnesota to California to Washington, D.C. Draw the line. It's happening in every single state. Now, we're very lucky here in North Carolina, taking a bit of an aside. We've got State Auditor Dave Bolick, who is doing an unbelievably amazing job in highlighting waste, fraud, and abuse within our state government. And some new legislation that just went into law yesterday on December 1st. It was signed earlier in the year, but it just went into law yesterday on December the 1st. It allows now the state auditor to take a look at companies, private businesses that are receiving state or federal dollars. So this idea that now businesses are not going to be able to shield themselves from waste and fraud that are ongoing because they're not the government. That's a major, major win here in North Carolina. So I just want to play a couple minutes of this. Tim Walz was on Meet the Press on Sunday to talk about this. Again, a major political story. I don't think I can play the video because I'll probably get a copyright strike from NBC. But we'll just listen to a couple minutes of this back and forth between Tim Walz, the Democrat governor of Minnesota, and Kristen Welker, the host of NBC's Meet the Press.
I mean, now it's Democratic Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota. Governor Walz, welcome back to Meet the Press.
Oh, thank you. Oh, it's so great to be here.
Good to be with you, Kristen. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Thanks you so much for being here. I do want to start with the tragic shooting of the two National Guards.
So we'll move
disabilities. I want to read for you what he said, Governor, and get your reaction.
So we'll move past some of this nonsense from, of course, NBC opening with the commentary that President Donald Trump said some mean things about the state of Minnesota and Tim Walz and move on to some of the, oh, I don't know, the actual news here.
Doctors, lawyers, entrepreneurs, they bring the diversity and the energy to a place like Minnesota. And for him to just randomly decide to do this, it makes no sense. Do your job. Get the criminals out. Secure our border, but do it with dignity and respect to the American tradition of respecting immigrants and refugees as a beacon of hope.
Well, speaking of the Somali community, President Trump is targeting them and your state in part. He's citing fraud as the reason for his crackdown. Dozens of people of East African descent have been charged, convicted, and sentenced for stealing more than $1 billion in taxpayer money from government programs during COVID. As you know, Governor, that is more than Minnesota spends each year to run its Department of Corrections. So I want to give you a chance to respond to this. Do you take responsibility for failing to stop this fraud in your state?
No.
Well, certainly I take responsibility for putting people in jail. Governors don't get to just talk theoretically. We have to solve problems. And I will note, it's not just Somalis. Minnesota is a generous state. Minnesota is a prosperous state, a well-run state. We're AAA bond rated, but that attracts criminals. Those people are going to jail. We're doing everything we can. But to demonize an entire community on the actions of a few, it's lazy. And as you heard Senator Kelly say,
I can't listen to any more of it. That's it. That's all I got. No, I don't take responsibility for $1 billion worth of fraud under my watch, but I'd sure as hell take responsibility for throwing these people in jail. What a jackass. I mean, this guy was a complete and total clown when he ran for vice president. Thank God Donald Trump won in 2024. Thank God that middle America showed up and voted for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance over Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. You thought things were bad in America under Joe Biden? I mean, we wouldn't even have scratched the surface as to what this nation would have looked like under two of arguably the most incompetent people in politics. Cackling Vice President Kamala Harris and this jackass in Minnesota, Tim Walz. I mean, we wouldn't even scratch the surface of what these two would have done to the country. Thank the Lord that people showed up and voted for Donald Trump. Can you imagine this clown being the vice president? Can you imagine him working under Kamala Harris? Two of the most incompetent people in modern politics. And that's saying a lot, because there's a lot of incompetent people on both sides of the aisle in modern politics. But these two, boy, they take the cake on it. Unreal. I'll have the link to this New York Times article, which I would encourage you, again, spread around. Make sure people know what's going on. That'll be available over in our show notes at patreon.com/Nick Craig. Thanks to so many of you that support the show financially. Just, it's literally as cheap as a single coffee at Starbucks. $5, $10 a month. You can support the show financially, get access to those daily show notes, and help us keep us on the air as we approach coming up next month, one full year of the Nick Craig Show, which has been an absolute honor and pleasure. Look forward to keeping it rolling. It's not possible without, of course, you sponsoring the show and financially supporting it over at patreon.com/Nick Craig and our great advertisers like The Law Group right here in Wilmington. So that's it. Fraud. $1 billion. Tim Walz knew it was happening. The Democrats that lead the state of Minnesota knew it was happening, but they didn't want to do it because they couldn't piss off the Somali community that exists in their state. They chose votes over protection of nearly $1 billion worth of taxpayer dollars. They thought votes from Somali refugees was more important than the hardworking taxpayers that allow those programs to exist in the state. That's the reality. That's the sad circumstance that exists right now. Absolutely pathetic. Tim Walz, the Democrat Party in Minnesota, an absolute joke. And hopefully this story, which is a huge one, obviously it's gaining national attention. You can imagine what the conversation on the ground is in the state of Minnesota. Hopefully this drives the GOP and Republicans to rave success in the midterm elections in that state, and they can kick Tim Walz's ass to the curb and get him. He can go on a book tour and walk around and do MSNBC and NBC News and talk about all the great things that he did while he was governor, and get a real leader in the state that's willing to look into these issues, regardless of whether it's going to have political ramifications or not, and get some things done. Again, the show notes and that article will be over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. Well, that's going to do it for a Tuesday edition of the Nick Craig Show. Thanks to the law group here in Wilmington, Melissa Gott and her team, for their continued support. If you're dealing with any legal challenges, visit their website, lawgroupnc.com, or give them a call, 910-251-6088. The Nick Craig Show streams weekday morning, 7 a.m. Hopefully you can join us live, YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook. If not, you can download the podcast and listen on demand 24/7. We'll do it again tomorrow morning right here on The Nick Craig Show.